open the scriptures to Colossians chapter 3, verses 12 through 17. Paul writes, "Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with each other and forgive whatever grievances you may have against one another. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. And over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body you were called to peace. And be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom, and as you sing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs with gratitude in your hearts to God. And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him." Let us pray. God, our Father, we give you thanks for your word and pray that as I speak it now, that I will do so in the name of the Lord Jesus, not in my name or any of our names, but in his name, and that we will receive it into our lives now gratefully for your glory. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Earlier this week, a friend and I were swapping stories about experiences with gathering leaves. Many of you have been involved in that too, probably. Like myself, he had spent a lot of time clearing the foliage from his yard, and we agreed that one of the most discouraging parts is the quantity of leaves that's still falling while you're still trying to gather up what's already there on the ground. No matter what method you're using, maybe raking or a leaf blower or a mower with a bagger on it, seems to be no way to keep up. What essentially sustains us is the knowledge that eventually all the leaves will fall and the limbs will be bare and the job will be done for this year, unless of course your neighbor has leaves in their yard that are just going to blow over into your yard as well. And it's important to note that my friend and I were having this conversation while we were standing outside in the beauty of God's world. Glorious sunshine, crystal clear sky. In the midst of commiserating over our leaf issues, we still managed to acknowledge the beauty of the season, the wonder of the world that God has made. What we saw around us, the abundance of God's goodness was all around us. So I think that my friend was right to close the conversation by saying, yeah, with the weather as nice as it is and as beautiful as this day is, don't we still always find something to complain about? So up until that point in our conversation, we had been united in our grumbling. But by the time we went our separate ways, that grumbling had hopefully been replaced by gratitude. Grumbling replaced by gratitude. I see a similar dynamic going on in today's text from Colossians, where Paul is reminding his fellow believers about who they are and how they're supposed to behave. And one of the ways he does that is by talking about get rid of this kind of behavior and bring in this kind of behavior. He's just finished describing their identity and the way of life that they had before they came to faith in Jesus Christ. Their lives were filled with enmity, idolatry. Their conduct was characterized by sexual immorality, greed, all kinds of sinful speech. That was then, says Paul. That was then. But now, as God's people in Christ, you have entered into God's new creation where things are different, which also means that you're to be different. As God's chosen people, he writes, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Notice how Paul uses the imagery of taking off one thing and putting on something else as a way to describe their new life in Christ. So when it comes to your attitudes and actions, he tells them, get rid of this, replace it with this. Maybe in cases where there's grumbling, replace it with gratitude. Just one possible example. And most of all, says Paul, clothe yourselves with love, which holds all these other virtues together, holds all the other virtues to one another, and holds you together in the community of God's people. I think that brings us to the part of today's text that I want to focus on most, verses 15 to 17. Here, Paul offers a vision of church life as a harmonious community of people renewed in the image of Christ, living under the lordship of Christ, living together as a sign and a preview of the new humanity that God has brought into existence through the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And as Paul admonishes his fellow believers in how to conduct themselves, notice how he keeps circling back to gratitude, to thanksgiving, and the importance of it. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, he says, since as members of one body you were called to peace, and be thankful. Notice how thankfulness here is tied to, inseparable from, what God has done for us through Jesus Christ. Earlier in his letter, Paul said, once you were alienated from God, you were enemies in your minds because of your evil behavior. But now, he has reconciled you by Christ's physical body through death to present you holy in his sight, without blemish and free of accusation. So, brothers and sisters, we're here today as people remade in Christ because of God's mercy and forgiveness and unfailing love toward us and toward the world. That's the basis of our relationship with God and with each other. God's faithfulness, God's mercy revealed fully and decisively in Jesus Christ, in his death for your sins, in his death for my sins. This is the reason for our relationship with God and each other. This is the basis of our life together, the mercy of God in Christ. Through Christ, we're told, God has brought about peace. Peace between himself and us, peace between us, and he's brought us into this new order of peace. It's no wonder that we're told, like they were, to let the peace of Christ rule or reign in your hearts. Not just in the sense of an inner peace, though that's a good and important kind of thing, but more than that, it's important beyond just the inner peace, most of all, an outward peace, where we live as reconciled members of one body called the church. In the midst of all that can threaten this oneness, the peace of God through Jesus Christ is nothing short, really, of a miracle. So it's no wonder that Paul starts out with talking about the peace of Christ that we can have and experience. Be thankful. No wonder we're called to be thankful. So enter his gates with thanksgiving. Come into his courts with praise. That's what we were summoned to do earlier in our service today. In the call to worship with those words, we were called together in God's presence this morning. We were called to express gratitude for all of his gifts and blessings, especially during the annual Thanksgiving emphasis. But the fact is that every time we gather, not just the Sunday before Thanksgiving, every time we gather, and when we're scattered beyond here into the world, we're supposed to be full of gratitude for God's mercy toward us in so many ways, giving thanks for all of his mercies, and most of all, his mercy in Christ. There's no greater gift from above than the salvation that we have in him. So no wonder Paul says to them, and we hear today for us, be thankful. That's why we're here with open hymnals singing. That's why we're here with heads bowed praying. That's why we're here with ears tuned in preaching. That's why we're here with hands outspread giving. Let the word of Christ, he says, dwell in you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom. And as you sing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with gratitude in your hearts to God. Gratitude then is what animates and drives our praise when we're here together on Sunday morning or beyond here in our daily lives scattered into the world. There's a growing body of research that ties gratitude to a number of emotional and physical benefits that human beings can experience. There was an article, it was about a decade ago, but it summarized the findings at that time in this way, saying adults who frequently feel grateful have more energy, more optimism, more social connections, and more happiness than those who do not, according to studies conducted over the past decade. They're also less likely to be depressed, envious, greedy, or alcoholics. They earn more money, sleep more soundly, exercise more regularly, and have greater resistance to viral infections. Now, those kinds of benefits, they weren't just evident in adults. The article went on to report about how researchers found that outcomes were similar in children, similar in adolescents too. So they concluded a lot of these findings are things we learned in kindergarten or our grandmothers told us, but now we have scientific evidence to prove them. The key, they said, is not to leave it on the Thanksgiving table, not to leave the gratitude there just one day each year, but beyond there. So it sounds like these Sunday morning worship gatherings, especially the ways that we cultivate and express gratitude, are good for us in more ways than one. Maybe all this praising can even help you build up your immunity. It's part of the picture. But I want us to note that in whatever ways our human well-being may be enhanced by expressing gratitude on Sunday morning, the primary reason for thankfulness remains God. It's about God. In fact, Christian gratitude, by its very nature, encourages God-centeredness instead of self-centeredness. There was a gentleman named William Temple who once wrote, "It is probable that in most of us, the spiritual life is impoverished and stunted because we give so little place to gratitude." And then he says something else. He says, "It is more important to thank God for blessings received than to pray for them beforehand. It's more important to thank God for blessings received than to pray for them beforehand." He notes that's because that forward-looking prayer, asking God for some blessing, can always have an element of self-interest in it, no matter who we are. That's part of that prayer. There is something, he says, we hope to gain by our prayer in many cases. And that doesn't necessarily have to be a bad thing, something we hope to gain. But praying with thanks, he says, is not a forward-looking request. It's a backward-looking act to something that's already been given. And in itself, he says, that is selfless. That's more akin to love. Not only looking ahead to ask for what we want or think we need, but especially looking back to give thanks for what's already been given. Thus, he says, it's akin to love. All our love to God is in response to his love for us. It never starts on our side. Go back to 1 John. We love because he first loved us. That's where it starts. So thankfulness, Paul reminds us, is our appropriate response to what God has already done for us in Christ. The peace of Christ calls for gratitude, and gratitude takes the form of worship, like we're doing here today. Thankful worship, thankful speaking. Note, though, in our scripture passage how all of that is inseparable from thankful living. Paul concludes today's text, "And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him." Notice how Paul's choice of words here is very comprehensive. Whatever you do, whatever, whether it's words or whether it's deeds, do it all, he says. Our life in Christ, then, it can't be compartmentalized with gratitude just coming into play in certain parts of it. We're told that gratitude is always in the picture, wherever we are, whatever our circumstances, whatever the experience or the relationship or the event, what we think, what we say, what we do. All of these things are supposed to be done as expressions of thankfulness to God. There was a Broadway play, My Fair Lady, and in that play, Eliza is being courted by a man named Freddie. And Freddie writes her love letters every single day. But after a while, she gets frustrated with all of these written expressions of love, and she cries out, "Words, words, I'm so sick of words. Don't talk of stars burning above. If you're in love, show me. Don't talk of love lasting through time. Make no undying vow. If you love me, show me now." All our words of gratitude offered to God, offered here in worship, or maybe offered in your daily practices of gratitude, whatever those are in devotion, all of those words can ring hollow in the ears of God if they're not accompanied by grateful living. Thankful acting. Living thankfully is what reveals the true depth of our gratitude and the true depth and integrity of our gratitude for the peace of Christ. And to be honest, there are times in our lives, experiences we go through, where we may not really feel very grateful. One of the benefits of Thanksgiving Day is that it calls for us to step aside and give extended focus and attention to the importance of appreciation, to give it more time and thought. And that can help stimulate our emotional inclination to give thanks and offer thanks. It's good to have a day like this coming Thursday that underlines the importance of appreciation for God, for life's gifts and blessings, and that moves us to show it. But we need to remember that as God's people in Christ, being renewed and transformed in the image of Christ, we know that gratitude is, it's a year-round discipline. It's not just a Sunday discipline, but a year-round discipline. Day in and day out, even when we may not feel like we're very grateful, even when we may not have a strong emotional sense of thankfulness, time and study and experience have taught us that even when we don't feel grateful, if we'll just do some kind of act of gratitude, some concrete way of showing thankfulness to a person, to some situation, if we'll just act in some way, then the emotional part will follow. It'll come along and keep up eventually. Again, that's part of, I think, why Paul emphasizes thankful living is the supreme form of appreciation to God. And when we look at today's text again, isn't that really what Paul is after in what he's saying to them? He's not just trying to offer them or us helpful tips on, well, these are the psychological or physical benefits of gratitude. That may be well and good and important, but what he's trying to do is take these being saved sinners who need to be transformed more into the likeness of Christ, take all of them and turn them into a unit where everyone is on equal footing, where they're inhabiting the peace of Christ, and where they're held together by the love of God. And one of the keys to being that kind of community of believers is thankfulness. Gratitude unites us. It helps hold us together in the life of the church. There was a theologian and reformer named Martin Luther who once said, "To thank with all your heart is an art which the Holy Spirit teaches. And you need not worry that the man who can really say to God be thanks with all his heart, that kind of person will be proud, stubborn, rough, and tough, or will work against God with his gifts." Go back with me to where we started. Remember that Paul is admonishing his fellow believers about their attitudes and actions. Take this off, put this on. Get rid of this in your life. Take on this. Remove this. Replace it with that. Changed more into the likeness of Christ. And Paul knows, I believe, that in God's will and way, thankfulness is important for many reasons, but especially because thankfulness has a way of driving out of our hearts and minds, and driving out of our lives, and driving out of the life of the church the things that work against the peace of Christ and the lordship of Christ in our lives. Gratitude has a way of driving out those things from our lives that would keep us from receiving and living in the peace of Christ with God and with each other. So put simply, like I said a few moments ago, gratitude, while important for many reasons, is especially important because it helps hold us together in the life of the church, and it drives out of our lives and our congregation the things that would hinder us from living the peace of Christ with each other. So, whatever you do, whether in word or in deed, do it in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Let's pray. O Lord our God, for salvation through Jesus Christ, above all, we give thanks. For the peace of Christ, not only inwardly but outwardly, in the way we live and work with and serve with one another in the life of your church, we give you thanks. We pray that we will grow in gratitude, in word, yes, in speaking it, but above all in living thankfully, so that whatever is hindering us from being more in the image of Christ, individually and together, that gratitude will drive more of those things from our lives, and we will deepen in thankfulness. We continue now to offer you our gratitude through our praise now in song. We pray that you help us to take what we sing to you and turn it into thankful living as well, as we commit ourselves to you. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen. We're going to sing our hymn of invitation. I'll be up front to welcome anyone who wants to come today to an expression of your gratitude to God for his mercy toward you in Jesus Christ, to give your life to